If you have your Bibles this morning, you may want to go ahead and turn to, in fact, it's one of the passages that Bev read a little bit out of this morning. It's 2 Chronicles, 16th chapter, verse 9, because we're going to touch on that a little bit more as we look at this thing of faithfulness and how it plays in with this dealing with the world. I want to ask you this question, and it's actually the title of the message, is when the world throws its assault or it launches its assault. I mean, this is kind of like a military thing anyway, right? I mean, spiritual warfare is a warfare. It's kind of military-ish, right? Amen? So when the world launches its assaults, because, I mean, that's what the enemy does, will you be faithful? Will you be the faithful soldier in the Lord's army? See, one of the battle plans, or one of the battle tactics, it's not really a plan, it's more of a tactic that the world uses. And the world uses this against every Christian, against every Christian man, woman, boy, or girl. The world wants you to not live a life according to faith. Because if you don't live your life according to faith, the world's got you. And it can go ahead and do the conforming thing on you. And you're really susceptible to it. Amen?
Amen?
So here we've got the world trying to get us to conform to the world thing. And we need the best defense against that is really faithfulness. To be walking a life, living a life that is a life of faith. So we're going to look at that, because if faith wasn't so cotton-picking important, Bev, the passage that you shared, that Rick had stated, I mean, it tells all about faith. It's when Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, he says, will I find anyone on the earth who is living by faith, who is living in faith? And you know what? Jesus is coming back. I guess what we could have done is we could have ran that video where you don't know when he's coming back, one of you guys' favorite, and all of a sudden there's this clap, kind of like a big thunder boom and a flash, and a whole bunch of folks in the church house are gone, except for a few. They were not living their life by faith, were they? But Jesus is coming back. This faith thing is so important. The Bible tells us a lot of stuff about faith. We went through a study last year called Faith Planted to Grow. We started that walk there. It's been kind of a difficult walk ever since we undertook it. And wasn't the study that was difficult. It's been living the walk. Amen? I mean, it's tough. Faith Planted to Grow. God wants our faith to grow. And growing is not easy in this world. So we know in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, what happened. What does God tell us? Anybody? What does he tell us about faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Wow. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God expects. See, there's this. God has got this. Maybe he's just got this expectation for you and me who know him as Savior and Lord. We are his children. Amen? We are his followers. And he's got this expectation that we are going to walk in faith. Surprisingly, and that's why I said, you know, turn to that 2 Chronicles chapter 16 thing. This isn't anything brand new. This is not a brand new concept for 21st century Christian living. God has had this expectation on his people that we would live by faith ever since the beginning. The reason why that this is so important, we've been given a special name, Christian, God's children. And because of that, what are we supposed to do? We should act like it. Why? Because it's going to show to somebody else. And you know, this expectation was no different for the Old Testament folks either. God had given them a special calling. He had called them to be his own people. And because he had called them to be his own people, he also expected them to be witnesses unto those who were they would come in contact with. Do you think that applies today? Are we not supposed to be witnesses of Almighty God to those within whom we make contact? You know, we live up here in the back mountain in Dallas, right? God calls us to be a witness. God calls us to show him to the nations, to the peoples all around us, to the folks up here in Dallas, to the folks in the back mountain, to the folks all the way down into Wyoming, to the folks down in Wilkes-Barre, to the folks up into Scranton, to the folks over in Pecksville, to the folks all over, to the ends of this world, right? Do you agree? I mean, if we're faithful, we're going to say, yes, Lord. So here we've got this passage, and what is God is looking for faithful people. He's always been looking for faithful people. He's called us to be faithful, but he's always looking for faithful people that will follow his teaching and follow him and show Jesus Christ today. Now, unfortunately, back in the Second Chronicles period, they had this ungodly man who was ruling them. His name was Asa. And he was not leading those folks in a godly manner whatsoever. And so as God just got kind of fed up with him. You know what, folks? I'm dead serious. I think God sometimes gets fed up with us too. And when he does, because when we're not acting in faith and we're not living a life of faith regularly, the blessings get withdrawn. Do you believe that? I mean, he chastens those with whom he loves. That's what the Bible tells us. But listen what it says here. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." It goes ties right in with that. You know, you hear these words, and I think we have to tie them together with where they come from. That ties right in with the great commandment, does it not? Completely his. Those whose heart is completely his. What does the great commandment say? Love the Lord your God with all of your soul, your mind, your strength. Ah. Do you think God's looking for folks who've got a faithful heart? Amen? Yeah? Well, he goes on and he criticizes them. He said, "You've acted foolishly in this." In other words, the criticism is that they are not living in faith. They are not following him. They are not having a heart who belongs completely to God. And he said, because of this, because you've acted foolishly, it says, indeed, from now on you will have wars, surely. Well, Asa didn't like what he heard. And he did the normal thing. He threw the seer. You know what's a seer? Yeah, the advisor, the prophet, you know, the pastors, whatever. And he got mad at him, and he says he put him in prison because he was enraged at him for this. In other words, the seer spoke the truth, and into jail he went. Sounded like Jeremiah, didn't it? Yeah. Sounds like a lot of other folks down through the time. And Asa even oppressed some of the people for this same time. Not a nice guy. But see, one of the things I think that we have to realize, God said in here, because they've acted faithlessly, he said, you're going to have wars. What kind of wars do you and I face today? You know what? It's not always gun battles. It's not always on the battlefield. Anybody ever face a war in your family? Anybody ever face a war at work? Amen. You know, God said when you don't live a life, I mean, to get the blessings, and part of the blessings is having a peaceful life, isn't it? So he said, to get the blessings, you've got to be faithful. And if you're not faithful, you're going to have wars. He said, that's plain and simple. He said, I'm taking the shields down. It's called Scotty, shields down. And Scotty drops the shields. And here come the photon torpedoes. Faithfulness is those shields. Amen. Got to be faithful. God's looking for faithful people all through this age. Anyway, and he's saying, if you and I are faithful, he said, we are really blessable. And you know what? I think that's one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, he said, I came to give you life. What kind of life? Rotten life? What kind of life did Jesus come and say? I heard the word. The word's coming over here. Stan's got the word. It's more to give you life more abundantly. Give you the abundant life. Amen? I mean, that's why Jesus came. To save us and to give us an abundant life. He wants to bless us. That's what he wants to do. But he's not going to bless us when we are faithless. Because that means we're not being faithful to him and we're not showing him at all whatsoever. So he wants to bless our socks off. So all throughout the Bible we find these passages over and over and over where God is looking for faithful people. He's looking constantly for faithful people that he can work through to bless somebody else. He's not looking for a bunch of folks who know how to spout Bible. There's way too many of those, and they've got no clue about how to live Bible. Would you agree? Amen. He's not looking for folks who know how to talk the talk. He's looking for folks who know how to walk the walk and to walk the talk. There's too many folks out here in the world, too many folks who call themselves Christians who can spout the great commandment and they say, oh yeah, we're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, yada, yada, yada. And the second is great under this and yada, yada, yada. And they can sit there and spout that, but they don't walk it. Faithful people don't just talk the talk. Faithful Christians don't just talk the talk. Bev, you shared that one passage, which is so true. I mean, God was saying in Proverbs, basically, that he's looking for some trustworthy folks. And you know what? Trustworthy is just another way of saying faithful. He's looking for a bunch of faithful people who will actually not just talk the talk, but they will walk it. They'll live it. How do you do that? You do it by letting Jesus Christ live in you. It's not something you do. It's not something that you set out on a morning to do and say, well, today I'm going to walk the walk today. You know, I haven't been doing it too well in the past, but it's something you got to do. You just got to let Jesus live through you. And when you let Jesus live through you, you start walking the talk. Amen? Amen. Christ will give you the power. He'll do the work for you. You don't even have to do it. I think this is one of the reasons why there's so many Christians and people all over, you know, call themselves Christians. They just really don't trust God. It's that believe God thing. We either believe him or we don't. Do we believe him with our finances? Do we believe God with our health? Do we believe God with our jobs? Do we believe God with our families? Do you believe God? That's part of being faithful. That's part of living a life of faith, is believing God. Amen. I want to pause a second. Uh-oh, yeah. I got a spiritual health checkup question that I want us to wrestle with. Do you really trust God? Or are you just talking the Christian talk? Think about that for a moment. I'm going to be quiet for just a moment. Think about it, that moment of silence. Got a little bit of conviction and you're going, that's hitting too close to home. My steel-toed shoes just gave out. It's okay. Mine gave out a while back too. But it's okay. Because you know what? All you've got to do is tell God and agree with God that you haven't been walking the talk and that you really haven't been as faithful as he wants you to be. And you know what you do? Tell him that. And then ask him to help you. And you know what? He will. Because you got Jesus Christ in you, and it's Jesus Christ's power in you that will help you to walk that hard talk. And it's that Jesus Christ in you that will help you walk a life that is faithful. One of the things that the Bible talks about in this faithfulness thing is that if we're going to be blessed, if we're really going to be blessed, it isn't about just knowing all of the, I call it the positive thinking mantra chanting that people tell you that's how you get, that's how you show it. There's too much of that out there. Would you agree? All you got to do is do this. All you got to do is do that. If you do enough of this, hey, you're doing it. It's not by listening to some character on the Health, Wealth, Prosperity Gospel Network who tells you that, oh, you'll get a whole bunch of blessings if you just send me some money for my ministry and faith. Amen? Yeah. I want you to listen for just a second to what the Bible says about how this, how you do this. Because the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It starts with believing in Jesus Christ. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. In other words, you're going to show love back and forth from one another, Christian brother to Christian sister, brother to brother, sister to sister. Okay? And says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. It's always first to start loving God, right? When we love God and we observe His commandments. In other words, it's live according to what His Word says. Love God first. You got to love God first. Otherwise, you'll never live by what the Word says. Never. You'll fail miserably. Because Jesus is going to keep you going. Jesus is the one that's going to keep you going that way. So anyway, and it goes on and says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God, listen to this. You want to know how to overcome the world? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Amen. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, literally it's saying that every man, woman, boy, and girl who is a born-again believer, I'll use that old terminology because it's very plain. You got to be born again. You got to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. It means that you got to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to have given over to Him, and you have had to have invited Him to come into your life, for asking His forgiveness, receiving His forgiveness, and receiving the blessing of salvation. If you didn't do that, this doesn't apply. But everybody who's believed in Jesus Christ, it says God has already given us the victory. Why? Because you got Jesus in you. You've got the power. You've got the real power in you. And His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. See, it's not by our intelligence. I don't care how many degree letters you got behind your name. It's not by your intelligence. It's not by your bank account. It's not by how creatively you can overcome problems. It's only by your faith in Jesus Christ and letting the power of Jesus Christ work through you. Amen. That you can overcome all the difficulties that the world is going to throw at you. Because otherwise you're going to be doing it on your own. And when you go, this is hard. Yeah, it's hard. You know why it's hard? Because you're not letting Jesus do it. He's got all the power. Not some. And so when all the distresses come at you, all the despairs, all the attempts to conform you to look more and more like the world, let Jesus work in you. Let His power show in you. Let His life shine in you. The Bible very explicitly says, every child of God, I mean, it comes right out of here. I mean, I believe what God's Word says. Do you? How many of y'all believe what God's Word says? Do you believe it is true? Amen. It is true. And it says that every child of God has overcome. Not will overcome. You have overcome. And the reason you have overcome is because you have Christ. Our faith gives us the victory. You will not defeat the world. You will not win in any of the battles that you face in the world without Jesus Christ. You got to have Jesus. It's one of those promises the Lord gave to us, and I guarantee you we can take it to the bank. Book of Proverbs tells us also, 28:20, it says that the faithful man will be richly blessed. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a bank account full of money, but you're going to get a whole bunch of other blessings. I'm going to do the same thing as I did in the first service this morning. I asked them, I said, you know, one of the things about blessings has to do with what we give away to others. Do you ever notice that when you give something away to somebody else, it may be nothing more than I take the time out of your day to say, you know what, you look like you're having a hard time. Tell me about it. How many of you all have had the blessing come back to you big time just because you did something small? Amen. Think about that for just a minute. Something small that you did. Maybe it was a kind word. Maybe it was helping somebody out. And you were blessed more than you could have imagined. I see several heads going, oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's not always in the big stuff that we get blessed. It's oftentimes in just the very little. Now, I'm going to give you some good news. How are you going to get faith? How are you going to get your faith to grow? How are you going to become more faithful? What are you going to do? The Word. Are you going to go to a seminar? Are you going to buy somebody's books? If you are, I'm going to start writing after I get my dissertation done. Because that's not how you're going to grow your faith. You're not going to grow your faith by reading somebody's books, going to somebody's... But you're not going to get it by going to Dr. High Voltage's How to Get Faith seminar. It won't happen. You may come away all hopped up and feeling good for a while, but you know what? It's going to go away, won't it? Do you know how your faith grows? God grows it. You don't grow it. And that's a blessing to me. Just knowing that God's the one that's going to be growing my faith. I'm not the one that's responsible for growing my faith. Because I'll find too many other things to do. All we have to do, now this is the beauty. All we have to do is recognize that as God's working in our lives, growing our faith, we just have to say, okay, Lord, oh yeah, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing. You start putting the pieces together. And you go, wow, I'm starting to see. Okay, God, I understand this isn't fun right now, but I understand where you're going with it. And you know what? He'll grow it. Because you're open. You're ready. And you're willing. One of the things that we've got to understand is that as God grows our faithfulness, you know what? It's not in the big things. I mean, yeah, we're supposed to respond positively in the big things, right? I mean, when the big opportunity comes along or that big choice comes along, obviously, as a Christian, we're supposed to make the right godly choice. But you know where God grows your faith? He grows it through your integrity in all of the little itty-bitty things. The daily things. It's not just the big stuff. It's all those teeny, unseen, not stars and stripes and fireworks and stuff. It's those daily moral choices that you and I make when we make right versus wrong and we choose right. And those little teeny, day-to-day things that probably nobody has seen you do. Probably nobody saw you do them. You know, if you were sitting in a cubicle and working with somebody day in and day out, and they were your cubicle mate, if you will, they might see the pattern developing if they were watching. But if they saw you today and they see you 2 weeks from now, or they see you another, you know, next month or whatever, they won't have noticed those little piece by piece integrity growers, faith growers that God's working on, because they're so small. But you know what happens? God's building a roadmap, isn't he? And he's getting you used to walking down the road that he wants you to go down. And as you're doing so and you're taking these small steps, these positive moral choices that are yay, yes, Lord, choices, day in and day out, you know what's happening? He's shaping your life. So when the real big one comes along, you're used to making those good choices, his choices. You've asked him about even the stupid things. Lord, what do you want me to wear today? Anybody do that? Lord, what do you want me to wear today? Lord, what road? I know I'm going from over there at 491 Old Highway and coming over here to Highway 415 in Briarcrest. Lord, how do you want me to go? Do y'all do that? Those are those silly little choices. But what are you doing? When you're asking God, you get God involved right up front. And I don't know how many times he'll take me in the direction I really needed to go in order to either help somebody, share with somebody, or keep me from getting in an accident someplace. Amen? Amen. Let him. It's all those little things. See, people of faith are really going to develop those as God develops them in our lives through those little things. And that's why Jesus said, whoever is faithful in the teeny things, or the small things, said in Luke 16:10, he said, whoever is faithful in the small things is going to be faithful in the big things. He said, whoever is dishonest also in the small things is going to be dishonest in the large things. You know, Every time some cotton-picking public official or some highly visible person gets nailed with being involved in a scandal, you can always count on a group of folks to come up and say, oh, you know what, his public life shouldn't really matter. He's such a great leader. He's such a great preacher. He preaches so well. He says all the right words. He's really fun to listen to. He's a great politician. He's done so much for us. I'm going to tell you what. If a man or a woman will lie to his or her spouse or his or her family, if he's in politics, he'll lie to his constituents. Amen. If he's a pastor, he'll lie to his congregation. Don't ever poo-poo integrity. Because when you do, you're going to get exactly what you deserve. I know, you know, in my own life, a lot of little private integrity things you people are never going to see. Just like in your life, there's a lot of things that I'll never see. And a lot of things even your spouse won't see. It's all those little things that work together. And God uses those to strengthen our integrity as he develops our faith. You take for instance, and I know some of you have done this. This is just small stuff. Let's say you needed to borrow a chainsaw. Okay. You borrowed the chainsaw. You went out and cut a bunch of wood. I know when I use mine, if I cut for a couple hours, I got to replace the stupid blade. I mean, I tend to use it up pretty good because you find some nasty old wood and you sit there and tear it up. It's either got to be sharpened or got to be replaced, one or the other. Well, if you borrow somebody else's chainsaw, did you ever think maybe it'd be a nice idea to either replace the blade for them or at least clean it up? Amen? Before you gave it back to them? How about if they loan you a car? Do you treat it as nicely as maybe your own? Do you fill it up with gas? Do you bring it back with a bath? You know? If somebody loans you a home for vacation. If somebody rents their home to you for a place for where you live, do you treat it as nice as though you owned it? See, these are all those little things that God uses. It's like that song that, you know, he uses all those little things. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that God, those are the integrity things. Those are just those day-to-day little things where you make a choice where you're going to show Jesus in your choices. One of the other things God uses is he uses our gifts, our talents, and our material possessions. What are we going to do with them? How are we going to use them? Are we going to hoard them and keep them for ourselves, or are we going to give them away unselfishly? A faithful person, folks, is very unselfish. Would you agree? God gave us all of that stuff, the gifts, the talents, the material possessions and everything, not for our benefit, but for other people, so we can bless others. One of the guys in the first service was saying that he did something that was real small, and he didn't even think anything about it, but he had an ability to just write some encouraging cards, and he used to send them out. And he said this person sent back and said he was just so richly blessed, and he was at a very bad time in his life when he got one of them. And it just really made a difference. It's a talent that he had. He could write down the right words. I don't want to be like the guy that Jesus talked about in his parable where the master had called the three slaves together and he gave each one of them some money, some talents. Remember that one? I don't want to be like the guy where he got one and he went and stuck it in the ground and threw dirt on top of it. I want to be one of the guys who let it grow, shared it with others. Because God said, those who are faithful in the small things are going to get a whole bunch more. I want to please God so much that when he comes back and during the 1,000-year reign, that he puts me over something besides the toilet. Amen? Isn't that where we want to be? One of the talents the Lord gave me was, I guess, a teaching talent, because then I was able to use it back when I was in the Army, taught my troops, taught as an instructor. When the insurance business, was able to use it in agency development. Car business, was able to train my salespeople. And some of you, God gave each one of you some talents and gifts to use. Are you using them? Some of the things that you guys have, I know, are the ability to fix up some things. A bunch of you can fix stuff up. Some of you are good at teaching. Some of you are good at math. Some of you are good at science. Some of you are good at closing deals. Some of you are good at music. Some of you are good at organizing things. Some of you are good at gardening. And you know what? God wants to use every one of these things. I'm not going to embarrass any of you, but I'm telling you what, there's a couple of folks that are on the work, do our helping with this Faith DVD, and I'll tell you what, they keep things organized. They keep it going. Because if it weren't for them, we'd have the wheels felt. The wheels have been off of it already. We'd have been stuck on the bottom. God gave us all these gifts. And God told us in 1 Peter 4, he said he's going to give us these gifts and the stuff to use. It's a stewardship, but he wants us to administer it faithfully. And then there's this one that most of us really don't like. How many of y'all like it when God lets the kitchen sink start to come through? None of us like the troubles, do we? But you know what? There are times where that's what it takes to help shape our faith. It takes some of the hard stuff sometimes to teach you persistence, perseverance, if you will. And there's a real difference between faithful people and unfaithful people. A real difference. Unfaithful people quickly are ready to throw in the towel. They're real quick to start whining at the first sign of hardship. When they have to duck the first one, it's not fair. I didn't deserve this. God told me that if I accepted Jesus, that everything was going to be roses. He didn't say that any place, did he? No. He didn't say that. When we're going through these hard times, the Lord's right there with us. And these hard times help shape how persistent we're going to be. Are we going to stand in faith? Are we going to be there when the hard times come? And I know some of you are going through some hard times yourselves right now. Maybe this passage here might be something that'll help you. You might want to write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 down through 17. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 through 17. It says, by having the same spirit of faith, Paul wrote, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. And we also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus Christ will raise us again with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. And I'm going to come back and touch that for just a second. For momentarily, light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. Do you see that one little statement that's in there? He says, don't lose heart. That's important. That's the perseverance. But he said, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Jesus Christ is the one who's renewing each one of us day by day through his power. He's the one. And that's why we can, in fact, persevere. That's why we can, in fact, not lose heart. That's why, no matter what kind of troubles get pitched your way, no matter how big they are, when you realize that Christ is the one who is doing the work in you, you can develop an eternal outlook. And you say, you know what? This little trouble is just a little wink. It's just a wink in my existence. Because I'm going to be with Christ forever. And there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Forever and ever. All this stuff helps to grow our faith. And God uses it to do so. But we've got that inheritance that's waiting for us. We've got that hope that we have in the future of being with our Lord Jesus Christ, which we will be if we know him. And he will, in fact, renew your soul. He'll renew you day by day, just like he says. Galatians 6:9 reminds us and says, don't get tired of doing what's right. Don't get tired of doing what's right. It boils down to just let Jesus work in your life. Let him. Let him. And show the faithfulness. Father, thank you so much for this day. And thank you, Father, that you love us so much. And even though sometimes we go through these shaping things, Lord, we want to have a faith that is really strong and a faith that really is there so that we are partakers of that victory, so that we see that victory happening in our lives each and every day, and through the little things as well as through the bigger things. Help us be mindful, most of all, Father, that it's through what your Son, Jesus Christ, did. Help us be mindful, most of all, also, that as we go through our day activities, that we just let Jesus Christ live in us, through us, and give us the power that we need to overcome. The world throws so much stuff at us, Father, and you know. Jesus knows. Jesus has been here and he's done that. Help us never forget. Help us to never, ever, ever, ever forget that he's going to see us through it. And he'll empower us to be able to stand firm and to be victorious. So I just lift this up to you. Father, I pray that if there be any who are here this morning who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, they're looking for the Savior, they're sensing that there's something missing, I would pray, Father, that through the working of your Spirit in their life today, that they would turn their life over to Jesus, receiving the forgiveness and receiving the blessed gift of salvation through your Son. May each one of us, Father, who already know you, just make a commitment to let you live through us more each day. And I just lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise team, would you go ahead and lead us? This is a time where if you need to come and use the altar, feel free to do so. Or if you just need to make a commitment right where you're at, that's okay. You don't have to necessarily use the altar. You can talk to God right where you're at. Main thing is, answer whatever God is putting on your heart this morning. Respond to Him. That in itself is a step of faith, and that's a step in faithfulness and faithful development. Do that this morning. As we bow our heads and praise team will play quietly in the background, if God's showing you something in your life, go ahead and take care of it this morning, okay? I want you to walk out of here victorious. I want you to walk out of here sensing the power of Jesus Christ working in you. Let Him do that.